This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Hey, Nicole, I have a question that I should ask off the air, but I just got the most compelling email from a law enforcement officer about this new law that's just handcuffing our cops. You tried to get hold of Jesse Johnson, the guy who was behind this new bill, the Federal Way state rep, right? About a week
Correct.
Ago?
Yeah, he's actually, I think he's on paternity leave.
So he never got back to you?
Well, his communicator said that he's on paternity leave, so he wasn't available.
How convenient, right? As this new law is wreaking havoc that he pushed more than anybody. It's wreaking havoc all around the state. A murderer is likely walking free because of it. We've had so many police departments that we've talked to in the last few days who have told us about the horrific impacts of his new law. And Jesse Johnson, I always did a little work when I was on my paternity leaves. Take a few minutes. Take 7-8 minutes and talk to me. Try to explain how your new law, which I believe is the worst bill I have ever seen in the history of our state, the most sloppily written, borderline incoherent, you should use beanbags, but we're banning beanbag guns. That makes a lot of sense. Explain if you're okay with this, if your conscience is okay with these rampages that could be stopped in 2 minutes that go on for 45 minutes. Tell me if you're okay with a woman that a law enforcement officer just told me about, stripping herself completely naked in downtown Seattle on 3rd and Seneca, taking off her soiled clothes. EMTs couldn't do anything. Seattle police didn't even respond. Law enforcement wasn't allowed to because she hadn't committed a violent crime and they had no probable cause. So you have a naked, mentally disturbed, likely drug-addicted woman rolling around soiled in the middle of a downtown intersection. Tell me, Representative Jesse Johnson, are you okay with that? Did you anticipate this? Or was this bill such a horrific act by somebody who wanted to unleash criminals and mentally ill people on the streets of our region? Just let me know if you're okay with the ramifications of what you have done. And plus, you need 8 minutes away from a crying baby anyway, right? In fact, take 8 minutes away from your crying baby and spend 8 minutes with me. And I'll be a crying baby for 8 minutes while I talk about your new bill. Crying out loud. All right, with that as mere prelude, let's get into the Fastest 15. It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. So last night, Brock Heward called me. He was at an airport. Man, airports sound awful right now. He was at an airport in Phoenix trying to get home to Denver, and we chatted for a long time. And he asked me, I want to find out when we talk tomorrow. Brock's going to join us live at 1:30 too. He said, I want to find out, have you broken down and started watching the Olympics? And I said, no, it's not really a protest. I just, for whatever reason, I'm just not as interested right now in the Olympics. It's just not doing anything for me. And then he texted me a video clip of this Olympic wrestler. And oh my goodness, she is adorable. Tamira Mensah-Stock. Came here as an immigrant from Africa, had a loving father who she lost in high school. Another man took over as a coach in her life, and then she has another father, and that's her father who art in heaven. She has great faith, and oh, she was adorable after she won the gold medal, only the second time a woman, American woman, has won Olympic gold in wrestling.
You started wrestling in the 10th grade. You are now an Olympic gold medalist. Describe the ride.
Why? Because I knew I could do it when I first started wrestling. I felt that I could be an Olympic champ. so I kept going. I did it.
Damn right you did.
Oh, my goodness. And she wanted to make it clear, these are not sad tears.
Hi, Tamara.
Hi,
congratulations.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling very happy, and I keep trying not to cry, but it keeps happening. And I just want to go into a dark room and just cry. But cry from joy.
How can you not feel just tremendous, not just joy, but patriotism? She has the Olympic flag, or the American flag, and gosh, she's adorable. So I'll talk more with Brock about that, because he's the one who brought that to my attention, sent me the video clip last night. All right, elsewhere in the Fastest 15. Okay, Nicole, I have to bring you in, because I think the listeners believe that sometimes I engage in hyperbole. And I don't. I just give my perspective on the world. But Joe Biden is in the news times two today. One of the stories is one that you saw this morning. The other one is one that I saw this morning. And I need you to be the voice of reason as I describe both of these things to our listeners, because I think especially the listeners on the left would try to discount what I'm saying, what I'm telling them about our president right now. But the first one, he's on the tarmac, and a little boy. And how old's the boy? Is he 14 years old?
He looks a little bit younger than 14. I would say he's closer to about 12 or so.
Okay. But anyway, this boy comes up to Joe Biden and gets to talk to him. The boy's got a mask on. Joe Biden does not have a mask on. He has his mask in his hand. And as he's talking, he has his arm draped around the boy's shoulder. And then, as they continue to talk, the camera zooms in. Joe Biden, he kind of, his hand kind of comes down the kid's arm, and he starts holding hands with the little boy. But that's not all he did, as they were holding hands. And so just so people don't think that any of this is exaggeration, because I don't like this president's policies, what does Joe Biden do as he's holding the little boy's hands?
Well, he first of all, fumbles with his hand, like when you're trying to hold somebody's hand that doesn't really want to hold it with. So he kind of fumbles with his hand, holds his hand, and then you see it go behind somebody, and then the boy's hand comes back into view, and he looks at his hand, and he's got Joe Biden's mask in his hand.
Joe Biden's filthy, dirty mask that he's been wearing. And what I said to Nicole this morning is, everything in Las Vegas now in the showrooms is reserved seating. It wasn't that way back in the 80s, you know, when the mob ran the city. You'd buy a ticket and it'd be pretty much general admission, except a maitre d' would seat you. He would greet you at the door, and he would take you to your seat. And what I learned real early on, I started feeling like a real big shot. When I was about 23 years old, I figured out that if you fold up a $20 bill just right, and so you can see that it's a 20 on top, you would palm that 20. And then you would shake the maitre d's hand, and you would slip him the $20 bill. And for that, it was great, great value. Because if you slipped a maitre d' a 20 back in the 80s, he would walk you right up to the stage and seat you at the tables right against the stage. And that's what I was reminded of. It looked like Joe Biden was slipping a maitre d' at 20, except it was a little boy, and it was his snot phlegm-filled mask. And then the kid, like you said, the kid looks down and sees that he has Joe Biden's filthy mask, and then the kid sticks it in his own pant pocket. And it's just, it's disgusting.
It's bizarre. I mean, the way that he holds his hand first, you know, fingers intertwined. I don't think the mask is in his hand before he grabs his hand, holds it for a second, and then brings the mask from his other hand and puts it in his hand and lets go. It is just weird. I don't get it.
But I have one even weirder. So in 2015, there are these compilation video montages all over YouTube of Joe Biden groping little kids. And it would be when he would be presiding over the swearing in of their father or their mother into the Senate. And back in 2015, as Joe Biden was swearing in a new senator, the senator brought his 8-year-old niece up on the stage with him. And Joe Biden has his arm draped around this 8-year-old girl's shoulder. And what is so clear in the video, and people have known about this for years, and why Democrats who were so upset with you know, Donald Trump and what he said on the bus, as was I, but why Democrats are willing to give somebody who gropes a child a free pass like this. So he's got his arm around the shoulder of this girl, and then you can clearly see he moves his hand to kind of cup the 8-year-old girl's breast. And as he does that, the girl kind of uses her, moves her arm a couple of inches to kind of push Joe Biden's arm away. And then she moves a little bit away from him. So she tries to move his arm away very gently, and she physically tries to get a couple more inches of distance by sliding away from Joe Biden. Well, now this girl, and I'm not going to name her, but she was in a conversation on TikTok with a guy who says he's a citizen journalist. And here is, he grabbed screenshots of his TikTok chat with this girl who is now 14 years old. And he said, Jonathan Pacetti is the guy who's talking to this girl. And he said, did Joe Biden pinch you? She said, yes. He said, why don't you speak up about it? And then she deleted her comment, yes, but he screenshotted it. He said, why did you delete the comment? And she said, I have friends that would no longer be friends with me if they knew that. And he says, those friends aren't true friends then. You were abused by a pervert, and you deserve justice. But only you can exact that justice by telling others. And then he said, you should speak out about this and tell the world how the president, Joe Biden, pinched your nipple. And just to clarify, she never said he pinched my nipple. She said he pinched me. It's the guy who inserted that word. And then she writes back, I would do something about it, to be honest, if I thought it would help. But I honestly just think at this point it would just make people angry. And I already have people calling me out, saying I'm lying. This is BS, even though it's not. But I just don't think it would help with anything right now. And he says, I understand your apprehension. The worst thing, though, is letting him get away with it, because then he can do that to others. I just want you to know that there are millions of people who are on your side, and they believe you. There is video evidence of what happened, and I believe you. We all believe you. And the video evidence is incontrovertible. I mean, Biden moves his hand, put it over the breast of an 8-year-old girl. And then she, you know, very subtly, she uses her arm to kind of push his away a couple inches, and she kind of moves a couple inches further away. She was very uncomfortable at age 8. And now in this chat, the same girl, now 14, has confirmed it. I do not understand. You know, Andrew Cuomo's getting a pass after, seemingly, after an investigation that came out yesterday that he had been sexually inappropriate with at least 11 women. Andrew Cuomo gets the pass. Joe Biden was groping little girls. And he gets a pass. And I don't understand these free passes. But they get them. They get them.
It really
but nobody even seems upset about it.
It seems to me, I've said this kind of about, well, the left, really. I think that they see and hear what they want to see and hear, which comes down to COVID data, which comes down to, you know, all sorts of issues in our area. They see, you know, there's facts that are out there and they choose not to see some. So in this case, same thing. They choose not to see it and move on. But I don't see that on the other side as much.
No, I don't think
we pick and choose facts.
I'll give you an example. The day that Trump audio came out in 2016, I went on this radio show and I said, I'm not going to vote for him. because of what he said on the Access Hollywood bus. I did vote for him in 2020 because I think he was a very, very good president. And I thought what he did with the economy and with I'm not going to post it because it's very easy if you want to go find it, and you'll see this creepiness. All right, next up in the Fastest 15, question for parents. Are you going to start? You're vaccinated. Are you going to start wearing a mask when you're at home with your kids? I know it's such a stupid question because the answer is, of course not. May not be the correct answer. National Institute of Health Director Francis Collins says, parents, you should start wearing a mask at home with your kids.
There are kids as young as a few months old who are sick from this. That is rare. Certainly younger people are less likely to fall ill. But anybody who tries to tell you, you don't have to worry about it if you're a young, healthy person, there's many counterexamples all around us now. Well, so, yeah, you do need to think about it. And that's the reason why the recommendations are for kids under 12. That they avoid being in places where they might get infected, which means recommendations of mask wearing in schools, and that at home, parents of unvaccinated kids should be thoughtful about this, and the recommendation is to wear masks there as well.
Let me just follow up on that.
I know that's uncomfortable. I know it seems weird, but it is the best way to protect your kids.
No, it's more than uncomfortable and weird. It's mentally ill. If you're going to start wearing a mask in your own house... the control, the takeover of our minds and our actions and our beings is running rampant. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Coming up next, Brock Heward. Got a lot of stuff to talk with him about. And so we shall. He'll join me live. Right after we check the news for you, here on the Dory Monson Show.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day with Heward.
Blue in it, check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Where the 12s hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Penny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline. Reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
Look at this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. You get even more gorgeous by having Brock Heward on the big show. Hey, Brock, what's going on, man?
Oh, hey, Dory. Hey, hold on one second. Let me close my window on my computer browser here. I was just watching some bear and salmon.
Isn't that the best? How, I can watch that. Just to explain.
I've done nothing else today.
Just so I can explain what you're talking about, I put up on Twitter last night, there's a live camera at Brooks Falls in Alaska, and at this time of year, as the salmon are migrating up the river, the bears stand in the river right at the falls, and they will grab the salmon that are trying to jump the falls right out of midair. The bears are all really fat. I mean, they're getting ready for hibernation. And what I said when I put that on Twitter last night is, you see this river flowing and the salmon that somehow, after being out in the ocean, find and make their way to where they were born upriver. They go from salt water to fresh water. The bears know exactly what to do so they can prepare for winter. And I said, how can anybody watch this and not believe in God? And I really meant that.
Yes. Yeah, it was just all out of the mud. Right, they just big bang, yeah. Boom, mud.
Yeah, there's a bunch of dust swirling around, and all of a sudden we get this. People say, "Oh, you believe in the magical sky fairy?" I think that what I believe is far more plausible than this is all some cosmic accident. So,
yeah, the only thing I would correct with your imagery there is the bear. I was surprised; they're pretty patient beasts. I mean, maybe they're so fat now that they just kind of wait and they expend as little energy as possible. And those poor salmon are fighting for their lives.
Oh, yeah.
Flipping and flopping and jumping. And these bear, yeah, they just kind of sit there. And when one falls in their mouth, well, you know, they just kind of gobble it down. But, yeah, God's creation is pretty beautiful.
Well, and I, everybody should go look at it. It's just on Twitter, at Dori Monson, D-O-R-I. M-O-N-S-O-N, because it's very cool live. But I'm serious, Brock. I can watch that for an hour. It's just crazy. All right. You last night asked me a question, and I did not answer it on the phone because I thought it'd be good to talk about it on the air. But you asked me if I'm breaking my – it wasn't really a vow, but I just said I wasn't interested in the Olympics.
Yep. Yep, everything and, going on, as divisive as things are, fans in Tokyo. It just felt like, and the ratings, frankly, have backed up your sentiment. You know, the ratings have been rough for NBC, have not been anywhere near what they've been in the past, but there have been some amazing stories. I sent you one in particular, said, hey, have you gravitated back to some of these young Olympians that have just done some phenomenal, phenomenal stuff?
Well, and one of the clip that you texted me, and I have not seen any Olympics. That's not true. I watched a little bit of the whitewater rafting a few nights ago, just randomly. But the clip you sent me, it's this adorable young woman, Tamira Mensah-Stock. She won the gold medal in women's wrestling, and her post-match interview was just beautiful. And I played a couple of clips in the Fast 15, but here's a couple new ones. She talked about her dad passed away when she was in high school, but she talked about how proud her dad would have been to see this.
You lost your father in high school. How do you think he would be responding right now, seeing you on top of the podium here coming up?
He would have been the loudest one here. He would be so proud. He would be so happy. He's from Ghana too. He don't say this out loud, but like he was like enemies in Nigeria. So it's kind of like poetic that I had to wrestle Nigeria in the finals. He's from Ghana, so that was kind of cool.
That's very cool that she happened. You know, her dad's home country was enemies with Nigeria, and she happens to wrestle a Nigerian woman in the finals. See, stuff like that doesn't seem accidental to me, Brock, either.
Nope. And it was, you know, the antithesis of so much of the negativity that we hear. And as she is wrapped, and I thought it was such amazing, beautiful imagery, too, as she is wrapped in the American flag, and she is so proud to represent America. She loves this country. She loves this opportunity. She loves being pushed by her coaches and sharpened by her peers. And, yeah, I mean, just the joy, the just effervescent joy to be competing for the country that has given her this opportunity, that's given her everything she's known in her life, and to maximize it. And it just stands in such dark contrast to all of the dark, gloomy, negative, you know, unfortunate messages that we too often hear highlighted, much more beyond that light and that joy.
Well, and you are building toward and supporting greatly the larger point that I do want to talk about. But let me just play a couple more of these clips. She really believed in herself.
In your wildest imaginations, did you think you would ever win an Olympic gold medal?
Yes. 100% yes. I knew I could do it. I knew it would be hard. I prayed that I could do it. In my wildest of dreams, I knew.
And she felt the support even though her family was not able to attend.
It was extremely difficult. But right now, my mom, my aunt, my twin sister, my little sister, and my grandma, and my little cousins, they are all in Florida right now watching at 6 a.m. cheering me on. My husband woke up really early to watch me. So it means the world knowing that they are watching. And that's all the support I needed.
And then she had one more thanks.
I mean, you won these matches convincingly. Did you surprise yourself at all?
Of course I surprised myself. It's by the grace of God I'm able to even move my feet. Like, I just leave it in his hands, and I pray that all the practice, that the hell that my freaking coach is putting me through, pays off. And every single time it does, and I get better and better. And it's so weird that there is no cap to the limit that I can do. And I'm excited to see what I have next.
So here's the larger point, Brock, and it's what you were saying a moment ago, too. The message that we're hearing in protests in the streets, end the patriarchy, and the messages from sitcoms and pop culture is that dads are just to be ridiculed, and they're the butt of all jokes, and faith is ridiculed. And here's a woman who talks about her dad, who talks about the man who coached her, about these men who helped shape her life, about God, her father, and the role that that plays. And the people who are in the patriarchy and destroy the nuclear family, they're filled with so much anger and hate. And here's a woman that I just heard filled with love and joy and faith. And I don't think it's an accident that, you know, the people she praised is consistent with what I think is missing from too much of our society.
Well, how could you not watch that? And as I sent that to you, and you dug into it, and you know, so many people across the country did, and in her story, how could you not help but have a smile on your face as you feel her joy? I've said that a lot, right? Jesus over yourself is an acronym that people often use in that, people of faith, to have that kind of joy. And with that, Dory, just light.
Yeah.
You just see the brightness in her eyes. You see the brightness in her smile. You see the light in her life that shines through. And oh my gosh, to have that platform and that stage and to do it in the Olympics and to be proud of her family and proud of her faith and proud of her country. As I said, it stands so often in stark contrast to so many of the conversations that you and I have once a week doing this segment.
Yeah. And she put it all together in this 18-second clip.
That American flag around your shoulders looks pretty good. How does that feel to represent your country like this?
It feels amazing. I love representing the U.S. I freaking love living there. I love it. And I'm so happy I get to represent USA. Love it.
Well, you said that put a smile on your face. Are you telling me you didn't cry as you watched that?
Am I telling you right now that I may not, that I may have some feelings going on in my eyes right now? I may have a little moisture, Dory. Yeah, I got a little moisture in my eyes. As she just, again, just shares about the freedom that we have, man, the freedom to have these countries, to have the freedom of our faith, to pursue our greatness and our gifts. And as she has done in her life, is a wrestler in America, and to win the gold medal for this country, man, it is pretty spectacular.
Yeah,
stuff.
Well, you got me. You drew me back in. But after all, I'm going to make an X over my head on the medal stand. I'm going to turn my back on the flag and all the other nonsense I've been hearing. This one young woman counterbalanced, and that's the other important message too. With all of that anger and hate and bitterness and hatred of America, hatred of faith, one person can counterbalance thousands of others when they are filled with as much joy as this woman is.
Let your light shine, right? We sing that as little kids and the light of the world. We let that light shine no matter what environment you're in. There's people listening right now, and it's been so fun, Dory, to run into people at the airport or around town that listen to this segment, that enjoy you and I, you know, presenting some of these topics that aren't often talked about. And yeah, man, let your light shine. Let it shine in that school. Let it shine in your workplace. Let it shine in your home. Let that light shine. Is that young woman certainly taught us a valuable lesson in it.
Amen, brother. All right, Brock, good stuff. Thanks for pointing that out to me, too, because I might have otherwise missed it. That was beautiful.
You got it, Dory. We chat next Wednesday. I'm going to be coming home from Canton, Ohio, in the Hall of Fame, speaking of letting someone's light shine and the joy of his gifts with Peyton Manning going in the Hall of Fame. Got invited to his ceremony and after party, and we'll have a lot to talk about next Wednesday, too.
I've never flown on a private Learjet, bro.
I didn't say I was doing that. We'll talk to you later, buddy. Roll on, roll on, roll on, roll on.
Yeah. All right. And we got lots more straight ahead here at the Dory Monson Show. A couple little pieces of business here. I'd mentioned yesterday that Victor Davis Hanson, senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, great thinker and has a lot of things he's watching in our country that are especially relevant to us here in the Northwest. We had to reschedule him for tomorrow afternoon. So Victor Davis Hanson will join us tomorrow here on the Dory Monson Show. Also want to let you know, coming up right after the 2:30 news this afternoon, we're going to do something pretty special. I think it's going to be really cool. I think it's going to be really fun. I think you're really going to enjoy listening to it. I'm not going to say anymore. I really hope you have a chance to listen to right after the 2:30 news, that segment here on the big show. Hey, haven't I told you so? Yesterday, as we were on the air, CNN, Fox News, they were wall-to-wall with the news that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, an exhaustive investigation found that he had been sexually inappropriate with at least 11 women. And some of the things sounded very creepy. So it's wall to wall because Andrew Cuomo, remember, he was going to be the Democratic Party permanency. After Joe Biden, Cuomo would get two terms. And now he's just looking like such an utter failure. He killed thousands of seniors by putting COVID patients into nursing homes. And now he's a serial groper of women, apparently. But I asked the question. I said, what do you think CNN's going to do in primetime with this story when Andrew Cuomo's brother, Chris Cuomo, is the anchor of the most watched show on CNN? And I predicted, I said, I bet they don't even mention it. They didn't even mention it. What a breach of journalistic ethics. Because, talk shows are talk shows. You know, whether it's my show or Tucker Carlson or whoever. It's talk shows and it's about opinions. CNN still pretends that it's a news network. They pretend that Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo are news anchors, and they're not. They are Democratic Party hacks. But in this case, Chris Cuomo is just an apologist for his brother, who is a serial groper, apparently. But the prediction came true on that one. And then I have one more for you here. I got an email from a listener, and I'm going to do this after the news. I don't want to shortchange it. But we've been telling you about how the police cannot respond. We've told you stories about women with knives who went on rampage for 45 minutes. Cops not allowed to stop it thanks to this stupid new bill that just went into effect a couple of weeks ago. A very tragic story a listener shared with me about something a driver did to her two dogs. And she says the police won't even respond to that. We're looking into it, but I'll share her story with you and lots more in the big lead at 2. And I got a question for the doctors and nurses out there, because some of them are sounding pretty ridiculous to me with the Delta variant. So we'll get to all that right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show.